Thank you, worship team. Hey, we're in a new series that we started last week called Let's Grow. Let's Grow. And I told you last week that Kim and I were thinking about calling it Hey Ho, Let's Grow. So here's what I want to do to kind of get you into it a little bit this morning. I know this is going to be awkward for you, especially for the older and the younger. It'll be awkward for you too. It'll be weird. But I'm going to say Hey Ho and you say Let's Grow, okay? Can we do that? All right. One, two, three. Hey Ho!
Hey Ho!
A little better. Hey Ho!
Let's
Yeah, that was weird. But I feel like at least you're awake, or at least the person next to you is awake, right? Listen, God wants us to grow, and I really believe that, and especially in this year. I really believe it's the year of great growth. And as I said last week, it's not easy for growth to happen, right? Being an old FFA boy, farmer boy, I understand that. I get that, right? When you prepare the soil to grow something, you have to cultivate it. You have to till it, you know, disc it all up in order to get the weeds out of it and for it to begin to breathe again. And then, you're able to plant the seed in there and then put nutrients and, fertilizer and water and the sun, and all of a sudden, poof, growth begins to happen, right? And it's the same way with the souls of our life, S-O-U-L, right? If we're going to grow spiritually, there's some things we need to get rid of, especially as we begin a new year, but there's also some things we need to begin to add into our lives so that God can do His growth in us. Our theme verse is 2 Corinthians for this series, 2 Corinthians 5:17. I love it in the Message paraphrase. It says this, "Now we look inside," right? At the beginning of this new year, we're going to look inside, and what we see is that anyone united with the Messiah, anyone that has a personal, forever relationship with God through Jesus Christ, gets a fresh start, is created new. The old life is gone. A new life burgeons, and that word burgeons means to grow, to explode up. Paul says, look at it. Look at it. Jesus wants to bring real growth to you today and every day after. And there's really no limit to how He wants to use you. And as our new year begins, we need to get rid of what needs to go, and we need to embrace what needs to grow. He wants to grow you so that He can prepare you for more than you could ever ask or imagine. So in this series, it's just me sharing with you how God is doing His preparation work so that I might be able to continue to grow in my relationship with Him. Last week we looked at my priorities, right? And we said we got to, focus our priorities this year as we start a new year to make sure that God's not just first on our list, but He's priority in every list, in every area of our lives, that we put Him at the center. This morning I'm going to talk to you about my psyche, my thoughts, and that's kind of scary even to step into this thing up here. But and then next week we're going to talk about my purpose, that God wants to realign our purpose with His purpose, and that His desires, the desires of His heart, become the desires of our hearts, and then the last week, my people. But this morning, I want to talk to you about renewing our minds, renewing my mind. You know, January is really the best time, I think. It's a time where we can quiet our calendars, so to speak. And I think really one of the most important things that we can do is really 21 days of prayer. I hope you're participating in that. I know there are not many of you coming here and gathering with us here, but I wish more of you would do that, but I know that doesn't fit your schedule, but I hope at least you're doing that at your home or at your place of work, where you're really coming together for 21 days and just praying and fasting. Pray so that we can get closer to God. And fasting means to push some things of the world away so that we can get close to God and we can begin to let God change us and grow us. And really that's what happens, as we begin this new year. Because we understand that God shows up when we pray. We are a people of prayer. And if you'll endeavor to do that in 2023, I promise you God will show up. And growth will begin to happen. So join me in the morning, Monday through Friday, 6:30 to 7:30. That's week number 2. But the goal is to allow God to begin to transform us. That's the goal. And so this morning I want to give you some habits to begin this year with. I was watching the golf tournament yesterday, the Sony Open. I have any golfers in here? Not very many, huh? A few. Some that like to act like they can play. But here's what I know about golf, and I've known this forever. Golf is mental. I mean, the difference between the best and the rest is really between the ears, right? And Johnny Miller, great golfer of old and analyst, says when he retired, when he found himself thinking more about the out of bounds, the hazards, the rough, than he was about the target, the hole. And I think in some areas, that is a picture of many of us as believers. I think most of us love Jesus, and we know that we're going to heaven, but we are way too focused on the out of bounds, the hazards of life, and we've got to change that. We've got to change that. Have you ever thought about what you think about? I mean, psychologists call that self-talk. It's what all of us have going on in our brain, right? That no one is privy to it, but right? But usually what is in our minds comes out in our lives, right? It's the way we view life and the way we process information. It's the way we think. The conversation going on in our minds. I mean, you're doing it right now, right? I mean, in your minds right now, you're saying, okay, where are we going to eat after this is over? Right? And some of you are going, preach it, Monty. You know, I'm fired up for 2023. Let's go, let's go. Some of you are thinking that, and very few probably, but some of you. And some of you are thinking, wow, Monty, you're losing more and more hair. I can see you. I can hear you. We have to admit, we've got these conversations going on in our mind. And unfortunately, a lot of them are negative dialogues going on, if we're honest with each other, right? And we need to change that. Our minds can become like freeways, and we let anybody drive on it. Garbage in and garbage out. Social media and movies, other people. I mean, we consume a lot of negativity. And that's why I think it's so important at the beginning of the new year that we can pull away from some of that negative stuff for a season. That's why I love 21 days of prayer. You know, the brain, the mind is one of God's greatest creations. And we know the brain has the power to change. We didn't necessarily understand this a couple decades ago, but today we understand that it's called neuroplasticity. It's the study of the plasticity of the brain and the way it can change. And every time you think a thought, there's a pathway that's created in your brain. It's called a neuropathway. And that's science, and it's been proven. Every time you think that thought again, that pathway then is strengthened and made a little stronger and more pronounced in our brain. And here's what science has learned. The more you think about that thought, the easier it is to think about it again. Science has proven that the more you think a thought, the harder it is to think a different thought. And so, as we begin this new year, we've got to renew our minds if we're going to have a successful 2023. And here's what I love. I love it when science figures, you know, something out that God knew all along. I just love that. I mean, thousands of years ago, Solomon wrote this in Proverbs 23:7. He said, "For as he thinks in his heart, so he is." For as a person thinks, you know, so he is. And science finally figured that out. Congratulations. Science. Congratulations, right? Here's the deal. We are the sum of our thoughts. What's in our mind is what's going to come out in our lives. And that's why the conversation we are having with ourselves that we think is private is really not private. What we think about determines how we live. Your life, listen, your life will always move in a pattern toward your strongest thoughts. So right living has to be preceded by right thinking. And it's almost impossible to have a positive life thinking negative thoughts. If you think you can't, you probably can't. If you think you can, you probably will. If you feel like a victim or think you are a victim and buy into that lie, you will be a victim. My favorite passage in all the Bible is Romans 12, really the whole chapter. I love it. But 1 and 2 says this, and you know it. Hopefully you haven't memorized. It says, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, in view of what God has done for us through Jesus Christ, he says, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. He said, this is your true and proper worship. He says, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And then he says, you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Transformed, changed, growing by the renewing of our mind. And so we've got to allow God to begin to do his transformation work, to renew our mind, begin to create some new pathways. For example, on grass, if you kind of walk back and forth, right, in the same place over and over again, you know, you begin to wear out this new pathway, and it becomes easier, an easier pathway to walk on, right? You just keep walking on it. You've seen it, you know, and, you know, it begins to wear a path there that's easier to walk on. But if I change directions and I start going down a healthier pathway, after a while, that becomes easier, and the old one begins to grow up over, right? And I think that's what's in front of us, in 2023. The brain has 100 trillion thoughts that can be stored in our minds. That's what science estimates. And here's the deal. We have the power to choose every one of them. God's given us that power. Paul says we will be transformed. We have the choice to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. And that's the truth. And so as we enter 2023, we don't need more resolutions. We need renewing of our minds. And if we think differently in 2023, we will live differently in 2023. So we must choose some habits. And Paul gives us four habits in Philippians 4. So if you have your Bibles, you can turn to Philippians 4. Very familiar passage. And I really believe if we begin to put these things that Paul shares with us into practice, I believe God will transform, will begin to transform you by the renewing of your mind. Philippians 4, starting with verse 4. Paul says, rejoice in the Lord always. And I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. So the first thing we have to do is to set the tone. I just write it that way. Set the tone. If God is going to renew our thinking, it starts by setting the tone. He says, rejoice in the Lord always. And I'll say it again, rejoice. He doesn't give us an option. He says, always rejoice. And rejoicing means to find delight in God. And so I so want this to be a year of joy for you and me. And we can't base it on our feelings. Paul says, rejoice always. And the trap is we will kind of just brush right through a verse like that and move on. And the reality is that the first holy habit is in 2023. We're going to have to stop questioning God and believe in His goodness. That He is good and that He is faithful and He is true and He is just. Therefore, I will rejoice. And when we make that declaration, as Isaiah says, his thoughts are higher than our thoughts. And I think about that every time I read that. If I could fit God in this brain, he would not be a God I would want to serve. And I'm not saying I'm going to understand everything, but I'm not going to question God. I'm going to declare the goodness of my God and just see what happens. I'm going to set the tone as I begin this new year. and that when trials come and disappointments come, I'm setting the tone. God, I will trust you. God, you are faithful. We just need to let our thinking be evident to God and everyone around us that God is in control and I will rejoice. That's the goal. And you will know that you're setting the tone when others say, oh my goodness, what's going on in you? You become the most faithful, positive person I know. And you can say, it's because God is on the throne of my life and He's in control. And I'm setting the tone in this new year. The second habit I want to encourage us to begin to step into is not only setting the tone, but also seeing the lie. You know, to see the lie. If we're going to get set free and renew our mind, we must see the lie. Paul says it this way. He says, don't be anxious about anything. Is that intimidating to anybody? You know, don't be anxious about anything. Listen, it's humanly impossible without God not to be anxious. To not be anxious. Anxiousness, anxiety is not from God. And so if we're going to not be anxious about anything, we've got to see what makes us anxious. And we've got to do an audit on our thought life. Because it begins in our thoughts. And when we take the time to and say, okay, where's my faulty thinking? Kim calls that stinking thinking. Where's my stinking thinking at, right? I'm anxious right now. And God's Word says, don't be anxious about anything. And so I've got to be able to see the lie. And when I see the lie, that's the next step. I really believe the enemy has only one weapon in his quiver, and that's a lie. The Bible says that the devil is the father of lies. It's his native language, right? You know, his native language is lying. He's a deceiver. How many of you have a friend and about half of what they say is not true? Anybody got a friend like that? Yeah. We all do. Listen, everything the devil says is untrue. When he speaks, everything he says is a lie. So when he speaks, he has to lie. That is his only weapon. And if we're going to defeat the enemy, we have to begin to create some new neural pathways and get healthy in our thought lives. We've got to see the lies. And the lies usually fall in one or three of three categories. The first one is the way we view ourselves. You know, I'm not worthy. I'm not good enough. I'm lesser than. The second is the way we view God, right? Growing up, I always thought God was angry at me and out to get me, right? Just looking for me to make a mistake so he could smash me, right? And I think a lot of us question God, and we question his motives. And the enemy gets us thinking a lie. And then the third way is the way we view others. So it's the way I think about me, the way I think about God, and the way I view others. The devil loves to create disunity. He will do anything in his power to get you to think a faulty thought about someone else, right? To get you at odds with others. We see that in every area of life, right? That there's this disunity because someone's different than me, looks different, acts different, you know, votes different, you know, cheers for a different team, you know, and we see this disunity begin to separate us. So that we can accomplish all that God wants us to accomplish on this earth. So when we see the lies, and once it's exposed, you will know the truth. And the truth will set you free. You have to see the lie. And you know, I've struggled with all three of these throughout my life. The view of myself, the view of God, and the view of others. But you know, God's done an unbelievable work in my life. And when I look back, I am so grateful for all that He has done. I grew up thinking I wasn't good enough. So I kept performing. In whatever arenas I was in, right? Whether it was school or sports or clubs or church or relationships, trying to get everybody's approval. And when I would fail, I would think, you see, Monty, you're just not good enough. And I'll just be honest with you, it was hard to get over that. And that's still my struggle in life. But what I realize is what God's Word says, you know, about who I am and about who He is and about other people around me. And it began to change my thinking. Pretty much with anything the enemy tells you, if you go 180 degrees, you'll find God. If you'll just turn 180 degrees, you'll find God. The enemy is a liar. And that's why Kim and I love to share God's truth with others. Because we know that if we'll ever hold on to God's truth, freedom comes. Peace comes. Unity comes. It's part of setting the tone and then seeing the lie so that we can do number three, and that is speak the truth. Renewed thinking comes through speaking the truth, and God's Word is truth. In John 17, where Jesus is praying for His disciples and ultimately praying for you and me, He says, God, make them holy by Your truth. Teach them Your Word. And God's Word is truth. He says, teach them Your Word, which is truth. Hold up. Philippians 4:6, in that passage says, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And so let's dare to speak the truth of God's Word and then begin to watch Him do a work within us. It's interesting to me that Paul says, by prayer and petition. You see, a petition is a form of request appealing to a higher authority with anticipation of reversing something of a lower authority. And Paul says, if you will pray and petition God, speak God's truth, that God will show up and kick Satan's deceptions. God's Word demolishes the enemy's lies. It's not me versus the devil. It's God's Word versus the enemy's lies. And the battlefield just happens to be our minds. You know there in Matthew 4, where Jesus, right after Jesus was baptized, and He goes out into the wilderness for 40 days, and you know, Satan comes to Him and begins to tempt Him. You know, Jesus is hungry, so He tempts Him with food. He tempts Him with power. He tempts Him with relationship, right? And every time that He's tempted by Satan, Jesus says, it is written. You know, it is written not to, you know, man does not live by bread alone. It is written, do not put the Lord your God to the test. It is written. So you begin to understand that the power is in the Word of God. My favorite verse to read every morning as I'm dealing with my mind and trying to get prepared for the day is 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 5. Paul says, for though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, our weapons, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. Paul says, you know, our weapons, His Word, prayer, worship, community, he says they demolish strongholds. And that word stronghold is the Greek word ashurama. And it really means, it literally means a prisoner locked by deception, living life by something that is not true. I love the story in Craig Crochelle's book, Winning the War Against the Mind. He tells a story about this dog named Max It's a large, shaggy-haired, lumbering dog called Max, and he will not leave the yard. Max will not leave the yard. A car drives by, and Max loves to chase cars. He says, though, the thought of grabbing one by the bumper and wrestling the beast into submission makes him drool. Max wants to give chase so badly, but he just sits in the yard. A cat walks down the street. Max cannot imagine the nerve of this cat. He knows they are evil and that they are on this earth only to do Satan's work. I kind of added that in there. And Max wants to attack, to bring a hailstorm of violence onto this feline's life, yet he cannot. Why? An invisible fence, an invisible electric fence, lines the perimeter of his yard. The type of fence puts out a little invisible beam, and when an uninspecting dog crosses that line, zap, he gets a jolt of electricity. The first time the dog is confused, right? What in the world was that? Yeah, so he tries to leave the yard again, and zap, another painful little sting. And then if the dog is stubborn or just dumb, he might try it a third time. And after that, he's learned his lesson. He knows he'll never be able to leave the yard again. Max's owners have an invisible electric fence. Actually, Max's owners used to have an electric fence. They bought one, set it up, and turned it on. Max was shocked several times. The fence also zapped a neighborhood kid who tried to come into the yard to get a stray frisbee. And the kid's parents complained, and so Max's owners decided to return the electric fence to the store. Several years have passed since they owned that fence. Even still, Max will not leave the yard. Why? He thinks he can't. He believes he can't. In his mind, he is a prisoner, missing out on the life he wants to live. He associates life outside the boundaries of his yard with pain. The magical place where cars can be called and the evil mission of cats can be stopped, it's just out of reach. He has no idea that the only thing keeping him constrained is a lie he believes. We kind of laugh at that. But it's possible you may be more like Max than you think. Stronghold. A prisoner locked by deception, living life by something that is not true. Here's another definition of it. Anything that exalts itself in our minds, pretending to be bigger or more powerful than our God. And here's what strongholds will do. They'll steal your focus. We become distracted, with all the things going on around us. They'll cause us to feel controlled, right? The addictions, the sin habits that we'll feel like we can't get rid of that. It becomes even maybe our identity. It consumes our emotion. They consume our emotional energy. So you'll have this feeling of hopelessness or depression, and you'll feel emotionally drained all the time. And that's because we bought into a lie. We bought into a stronghold, and it has a grip on us. It distracts us from our purpose. It robs us of the abundant life that is available to us through Jesus Christ. And Paul says, listen, we have to capture those rebellious thoughts and we teach them to obey Christ. And so I like that, right? I say, you get a rebellious thought and I say, be quiet. Sit down. I'm going to make you obedient to Jesus Christ. Or of a critical thought. Sit down, be quiet. I'm going to make you obedient to Jesus Christ. A negative thought. And so here's where you need to work with me. I'm going to give you two questions to ask yourself. And the first one is this. What negative thoughts are dominating your thinking? It could be anything. You might think, I can't get it all done. I'm not a good enough mom. Right? I'm not a good enough mom. That other mom brought homemade cookies and I brought store-bought cookies. Hashtag, I suck or whatever, it's like. I know I shouldn't have said that word. Whatever it is. Whatever it is. I'm always going to battle with such and such, right? I'm very inconsistent. I'm on again, off again with God. I'm undisciplined. I'm never going to get ahead. I'm just not good enough with people. I'm just an average student. I'm not enough. Whatever it is, think about, quite honestly, when your dialogue tips to the negative side, what is it that you're consistently telling yourself again and again Because don't forget, your life is moving in the direction of your strongest thoughts. And then, I want you to ask yourself, what spiritual truth will demolish your strongholds? What spiritual truth will demolish those unhelpful, ungodly thoughts? Like, I'm not enough. And you just take that captive, right? And you say, I'm going to make you obedient to Christ, because His Word says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. No. In all things, we're more than conquerors through Him who loves me. No. It says in 2 Corinthians 12:9, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weakness so that Christ's power may rest on me. Or maybe anxiety, right? You just seem to worry all the time. Listen, you can take captive that thought. Because God's Word says in 1 Peter 5:7, cast all your anxieties, all your worries on Him because He cares for you. Philippians 4:6 says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. And maybe you just need to be reminded of how God sees you like I did. That you have this unconditional, unstoppable, unquenchable love of God available to you. And as you're struggling with whatever that is in your life, just know that He is with you, that He will never leave you, that He will never forsake you. You see, we set the tone, we see the lie, and we begin to speak the truth. And finally, we seal the promise. You know, I wish we could set the tone, see and expose the lie, and pray a truth from God's Word, and then it was done, right? And sometimes that happens, but most of the times it is a process of working out attitudes and appetites. So we have to seal the promise. Because most of us, it doesn't work the first time. And so what happens is we want to give up and try something new. But the key is to seal the promise. It's step 1, 2, 3, and repeat. 1, 2, 3, and repeat. Because listen, there's some neuro pathways that some of us have been thinking, some stinking thinking for a long time, right? And that doesn't always go away just like that. But over time, as we set the tone and see the lies and speak the truth of God's Word and seal the promises of God, He will show up and renew our thinking and bring growth. Now, we must expect some resistance, but God's Word is more powerful than anything the devil can throw at us. So we take comfort in the promises that God is with us. And so in closing, I want to give you some ways that in order to seal the promises of God in our thinking, we need a few things. We need a plan to control our thoughts. And the best plan, I know we say it every new year, and I say it a whole lot, and I really preach it to these guys over and over again. The best plan is read the Bible. You know, I meet with students, and sometimes students struggle with reading God's Word, and they can't find a purpose behind it. I can't understand it, and I just have to keep encouraging them. Read the Word, just read the Word, you know. And it's kind of cool when somebody all of a sudden gets a light, and God's Word speaks to them, and they look across the table to you, and it's like, wow, you know, He spoke directly to me. Listen, if you read the Bible, it will change the way you think. Not just reading it as a discipline. I want you to read it and begin to consume it. If you do that, it will begin to take every negative, awful, demonic talk that puts you down. And it will replace it with how God sees you. It's powerful. The Bible is like no other book. I mean, this book breathes. It has a heartbeat. It has power. The writer of Hebrews says, for the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing in soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. It's a double-edged sword. One edge is defeating the enemy, while the other edge is like a scalpel in our own hearts. So don't just read the Bible. Let the Bible read you. And when that begins to happen, it will mess you up. It will mess you up. But what happens? You will begin to grow up. Seal the promise by getting the Bible in you. The second way we're going to seal that promise is by getting a place to think our thoughts. At some place in your day, the world's volume must be turned down. You need a place to let God speak to you and for you to speak to Him. A place to pray. A place to have a daily conversation with God. And I get it, it's tough, right? And you might say, well, you know, I'm not good at it. Maybe you think you're not good at it because you think there's a formula that you need to follow. There's not. Or maybe you think you have to use fancy words or flowery language. No, my dad prayed in the King James English. I mean, he did, with thee and thou and art and all those words, and it was beautiful. But it was terrible when I tried to pray that way, right? He just wants you to have a conversation with Him, for you to communicate with Him and Him with you. And I know you can do that because you do it every day. We are connected with everyone, you know, through social media. We text, we email, we Facebook, we TikTok, we Twitter. And God, really, God doesn't want any more than that. Just a conversation with you about your day. He wants to talk to you. It's not an event. It's a lifestyle. Going through your day, communicating with your God. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says to pray continually. And the only way to do that is to have an ongoing conversation throughout your day. Just a few words. Just a text there. A text here, right? In the shower. In the car. In the halls of your school. At your desk. In the classroom. Just little conversations with your God throughout the day. Dr. Caroline Leaf is a communication pathologist and a cognitive neuroscientist, whatever that is. She's smart. Dr. Leaf writes this: it has been found that 12 minutes of daily focused prayer over an 8-week period can change the brain to such an extent that it can be measured on a brain scan. Listen, your life is always moving in the direction of your strongest thoughts. Worry and toxic thinking will change your brain and move your life in a direction that you don't want to go. Prayer changes your brain and moves it and moves your life in a positive direction. You need a plan, a place, but in order to seal the promises of God in your life, you need a people also to stretch. We need a people to stretch our thoughts. James 5:16 says, therefore confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. That's why small groups are so important. That's why to be, you know, in smaller circles, studying God's Word and praying for each other, getting with other believers that can point or stretch your thoughts toward God. People encouraging you, cheering you on, celebrating you to better thoughts. Hebrews 10 says, let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works, and let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of His return is drawing near. We need a people that can stretch our thoughts and point us toward God. And then finally, we need a power to fuel our thoughts. God is going to challenge you to do something amazing, something significant, but you can't do it yourself. You need Him beside you, His power in you, fueling you toward His purpose for your life. Listen, we must open up our lives to the power of the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 3:20 says, now to Him, you know, who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. The power, the Holy Spirit that is at work within us. These verses here in Romans 8, 5 and 6 have significantly impacted the way I think about thinking. This is what Paul says. Those who are dominated by the sinful nature think about sinful things. Right? But those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit think about things that please the Spirit. If your sinful nature controls your mind, there is death. But if the Holy Spirit controls your mind, there is life and peace. So I want to ask you the question. Is your inner dialogue dominated by sinful, negative, critical thinking? Or would you say that your mind is controlled by the Spirit of God, consistent with God-honoring, Christ-directed thoughts? Listen, we need to begin to allow the Holy Spirit to come in and control our thoughts. To think only on those things that are true and noble and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Those things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Paul says, think about such things. Put them into practice. Allow them to be filters. Allow the Holy Spirit to use them. And that's why, with every bit of excitement, every bit of passion that I can muster up, and spiritual enthusiasm, which I really think the word for that is gumption. Every bit of gumption that I have, I would love to invite each one of you to join me in going before God. And as we step into 2023, let Him change us into a new people by changing the way we think. Not locked in a prison by a lie, but set free by His truth. You know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So will you declare it over and over again so that you might just get to a place where you really begin to believe it? Listen, Satan is the father of lies. But Jesus is the author of truth. And when you know the truth will set you free. That stinking thinking will be demolished, and you can begin to live in freedom. So, listen, where has the enemy infiltrated your mind? And what are you coming into 2023 with right now that needs to be demolished by God's Word? As you get closer to God, and as you push away from the world, will you allow God to begin to renew your mind in 2023? God will change us. God will transform us by the renewing of our minds. And we will grow. Pray with me, please. Father, I just ask you today that you would inspire some people who are serious about living for you to begin to seek you honestly, God, to seek you openly, transparently. God, empower us to hear from you, to declare your truth in a way that would change our minds, that would conform us into the image of Christ. So that we would please you, O God, in all that we do. God, may we not just be hearers of your word in this new year, Father, but may we do the word. God, may we be a people who are ready for this year to be more God-honoring than ever before. And Father, you know that I have, and I'm sure there's others in here praying even now, Father, that we've been negative in our inner dialogue. And we want that to change. Father, may that be unacceptable to us as your followers. Because we understand, Father, that it doesn't please you. God, I so want my thoughts to honor you this year. I want my mind to be controlled by the Spirit. And so, God, I'm praying for me and I'm praying for all of us that we would bring our best this year. God, give us your words to live by and give us the courage to declare them. Father, may we be a people that faithfully pursue you. That, Father, we would pursue you until you change the way we think. That we'll continue to seek you as you renew our minds. And Father, I pray that this is not only the prayer of my heart, but the prayer of those in this room and listening, Father, that it's the prayer of their heart, that they want to do this, that we want our mind to be renewed so that we can begin to grow into the people that you created us and are calling us to be. And all of us said, amen. Amen.